I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
take a look at this. Top 10, 10 and 9 on ESPN. This is great for radio here, but it's worth talking about, Gray. Here you go. You got to watch this. See if you ever hit a putt like this before. You know it's going to go in if it's in the top 10, right?
Yeah, generally.
I don't see how that's number 10. And watch this disc golf play at number 9. This should be number 1 for the year. Here we go. ESPN Top 10. Great for audio only.
Oh, Ultimate Frisbee.
Or Ultimate Frisbee, yeah. That's just a great throw. The guy threw the disc when the guy was at like the 40-yard
line. Oh, yeah.
And he went and got it.
See, the guy, that was an incredible Ultimate Frisbee play, but I've got a problem with it. And that's that after, I mean, and that's the appeal of Ultimate Frisbee. It can float forever. So you get some really cool long breaking plays, and a fast breaking Ultimate Frisbee is very different from one in basketball. But anyway, I digress. He spiked the Frisbee.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Whatever you did before spiking the Frisbee is ruined by what came after. I guarantee you, you cannot cap off anything cool and have it remain cool post Frisbee spike.
Spiking a Frisbee doesn't seem right. Yeah.
See, like, and if you would have asked me, I would have told you that the shape of a football contributes negatively to the effect of spiking it, but no, that's wrong. The randomness is kind of fun.
Yeah.
The Frisbee is the least spikable. There's your first topic, Joel. What's the least spikable sports prop? You know, what has the worst effect? If you're out there playing a sport and you spike the thing that the sport involves, where do you look? I'm thinking skiing might be worse.
I got a top two. Drum roll. Joel here, Gray over there. This is the gray area. All right, Joel's top two things that you shouldn't spike after winning. Number two, the shot put.
All right. Okay, fair enough.
And number one, the javelin.
Ooh, okay. Okay, I'm going to say I was on track with the ski pole, but I think you really nailed you kind of perfected the art form on your first try with the javelin on that one.
The first ever top two list.
Well done.
I wasted some time last night watching. Let me just ask you, first of all, have you ever finished a Rubik's Cube?
No, nope. Not even close.
I haven't either. Now I want to, though. Last night, for some reason, I went on YouTube and my algorithm came up a live feed from Washington, the state of Washington, and the World Rubik's Cube Championship. Basically, just a lot of people putting a Rubik's Cube with all four colors, the colors on each side, in anywhere from 4.5 to 8 seconds it takes them on a random cube. But basically, they bring, it's pretty funny because they bring the cube out and the cube is covered. And then the person gets like 20 seconds to kind of look at it, just look it over. And then as soon as they set the cube down on the mat and they put their hands on the table, then boom, the timer starts. And it's boom, they just throw it. They throw it on there. And the ages were anywhere from literally there was a kid who was like 7 years old up to probably 25 or 30. There wasn't too many old guys doing it. We'll leave it at that. But it intrigued me now to want to maybe just learn how to finish a Rubik's Cube in maybe a day, not 7 seconds.
So since you brought up this topic, I've been building a Venn diagram in my head.
All right.
And so, like, immediately in my mind, I thought, okay, Rubik's Cubes are part of that class of things that is super impressive, but it suffers from something. And I couldn't put my finger on it. Like, there's a reason that you're never going to see Rubik's Cube Championships anywhere but online and ESPN, the Ocho. And I'm thinking, okay, I can't put it into words, but I know there are other members of this same category. And those speed stacking cups immediately came to mind. Mm-hmm. You seen those? Those people that can stack cups three layers high and 4 seconds later, they've both stacked and unstacked. Okay, so I'm building the category. You get where I'm going. It's things that are impressive but are not fun to watch. Like, right. I'm sorry, guys. No. Yes, as an 8-year-old, that you've got that manual dexterity is neat, but puberty's going to hit. Your forearms are going to grow a little bit, and voila, there goes your time.
Right, right.
But, like, okay, so let's build out the rest of the Venn diagram. You've got half of it, which is impressive. You've got half of it, which is fun to watch. The intersection of things that are both impressive and fun to watch, I can only think of two. You've got, well, three. You've got fireworks, you've got sports, and you've got magic. Those are the things that are both impressive and fun to watch.
Certain sports, yeah.
Right, right, certain sports.
Because there's sports, and I'll volunteer right now, like professional cornhole. I watched it over the weekend. Not real fun to watch. It's kind of boring.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of boring. And there's other things like bowling and pool and darts. It's really cool, but the fun to watch part is just like
yeah. And these are all well, and bowling and pool and darts are in that impressive. They're both in the middle. They're both impressive and fun to watch, but they're both threatening to jump out into one side or the other. You know, like this is more impressive than it is fun to watch.
Yeah,
or like. You know, it'll cross over when you get that hop over a billiards ball. Maybe we're more fun to watch than you get the idea. But
in bowling, when you get the 10th strike in a row, you're just like, okay, I get it. And cornhole's the same way. All right, you put 50 in a row. That's real nice. And you hit 10 bullseyes. That's real, real nice. But there has to be a variance in there that is somewhat... just leans you toward that not watchable kind of thing.
No, it's filtered through enough people willing to watch it to make enough money that they'll bring it to you kind of thing. But like, no, that's the Venn diagram. There's things that are impressive and not fun to watch at all, like scoring well on a test. There's things that are fun to watch but not impressive at all, like blowing bubbles. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's all kinds of stuff. But in the middle, you've got sports, you've got fireworks, and you've got magic.
The National Rubik's Cube World Champion. It was on YouTube. I watched it for about an hour last night. I think $3,000 to first place is what it was. And it came from all over the world. All over the world. So
$3,000, did you say?
$3,000 was the first place prize. Yeah.
With inflation, that'll get you a happy meal. Enjoy your Rubik's Cube championship.
Probably won't even cover the flight from where they came from overseas.
And if there's a tariff on the fries, forget about it.
That's exactly right. Well, this morning we had a little comedy bit about noodling. Do you know what noodling is?
Depending on the context, are you talking about fishing or guitar playing?
Okay, you get it. It's
I
fishing.
Was ready for you.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what guitar playing noodling is.
Honestly, I don't know either, and I'm not sure people who do know. I think it's just kind of wiggling around on the guitar.
We had a comedy bit this morning talking about noodling. And once the comedian described it, I had seen something about noodling before.
Yeah, you're the bait.
Southern document shows. But basically, you're walking around along the banks of a river, and you're looking for a catfish nest, and you put your arm in there, and the big catfish bites your hand, and they obviously don't have very sharp or big teeth too much, and then you pull it out, you got yourself a catfish.
Yep.
There you go. That's noodling. That's crazy. I would never do it. Not in a moment would I ever even put my hand into a hole. Even if you can 1,000% guarantee me there's nothing in that hole, not putting my hand in that hole.
It's a matter of perspective, and I'm with you. I probably wouldn't enjoy it, but I would give it a try. I'd do it once. I think I'm on the list of people. Here's how I view noodling, though, Joel. Noodling is the downfall of the Discovery Channel.
All right.
Noodling was when Discovery realized that putting small town people on camera and just letting them talk for a while was better content than much of what they had about 20 years ago.
You got that right.
Yes. Noodling was right up there with, I mean, what is it? Swamp Monster, Alligator.
How many shows are there documentaries of the backwoods of America?
You know,
how many documentaries are there?
Am I knocking these shows for existing? No, but find another place than National Geographic and the History Channel. Like, those are the first two places for, I want to bore my kid, but keep him busy for 2 hours. I'm not showing him what's on National Geographic. You want him to go see the soap opera that is mining gold in Alaska? Cool. Watch the Discovery Channel. No, but there was that's how I view noodling. It was like, that was the era when I first saw noodling on TV. Dirty Jobs. It was one of the best shows that was on those networks.
Oh, Mike Rowe, great show.
But
great
also show. The beginning of the end, because he was just a character, and they're like, you know what? We can just have those fun, zany characters instead of having educational content. No!
Can we noodle up here? Is it possible to noodle in Wisconsin?
I don't know if we have the right kind of catfish. I'm not sure that the catfish that we have up here are the kind that will occupy a space like that. But that's the best answer. I don't know.
If anybody's ever noodled, Call us at 762-3221 and just tell Rachel yes or no. I don't want the details of it. Maybe that's another show.
Are we about to turn over a rock and find an incredibly active noodling community like a nest of ants we didn't know was there all along right beneath our feet? I'm thinking not.
There's got to be some fish in northern Wisconsin or in Wisconsin.
Well, we have catfish. I catch catfish. Yeah, yeah. I just don't know if a channel cat will do that, and I don't think blues get up here very much, depending on where. Somebody out there is somebody who's waist deep in some muck right now giggling that they don't know what I'm doing. But, like, I don't know where you are.
Idiots. See, I think we should noodle, but we should noodle like for bullheads. So if you get them, they hurt. You got to pay for it. They sting you a little bit.
I worry about you, Joel. I find no redeeming quality to the stuff you just said to me. There's no upshot.
There should be a risk to it. I think, because I'm thinking that this catfish doesn't have much in the form of it's dentally challenged. I'm thinking
challenged.
I'm thinking there's not much in the way of teeth in that catfish's mouth. Otherwise, people would stop doing this.
It's worth it. It's like, yeah, you take a little bit of a bite, but I think they've got kind of like a single bar across the top kind of tooth, and it more scrapes you a little bit than actually bites you. But yeah, it's not. I remember when I caught my first few catfish, I didn't know how to handle them. My brother told me, no, you grab them like a bass. You just grab them by the lip, and you can hold. You got to be careful. You got to support the body because you don't want to lift them just by that lip. But no, long story short, you're not going to get bit in any way that matters.
If you've ever noodled, you can send us a message through the Civic Media app at 98Q if you want to.
Include evidence if you can.
Yeah, a photo would be fabulous. Yeah. Now, you mentioned this topic. This is the gray area menu every week. It changes. There's no prices. And the week, it's chef's choice every single week. Last week, you mentioned this, but we never got to it. And I had the three words of too many baseballs on there, and it intrigued you a little bit.
Well, it just, I immediately called to mind that tide of junky pens we were talking about, where they seem to perfectly inflict what you don't need when it comes to, but like, I can't imagine what too many baseballs, it's like a surplus. Are we gonna put out a moratorium on the production of baseballs to control the price here?
No, here's what I think we should do.
Make farmers just sell off their extra baseballs?
Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball. Unless a ball goes out of play into the stands, I think you have one ball per half inning. All right?
Oh.
You put that ball out there and you play with that ball. We're such a society of waste. We're just, a pitcher gets a ball and he's like, nah, I don't want that ball. And then he throws a first. They don't even need a reason. They don't need a reason. If a pitcher throws a ball and it bounces in the dirt, they throw it away. They throw it. And I know they're giving it to little league teams or whatever they're doing with it. But I think you have one ball per half inning, and unless the umpire looks at it and it became oblong or turned into a square or something, that's the ball we use for the entire half inning, unless it's fouled out of play.
I mean,
and a fan grabs it.
I think baseball is the right sport for that kind of rule. I think that feels like it wouldn't be out of place in the rule book, but
I mean, it gets scuffed a little bit. Now you can throw a good knuckle curve with that baby. You got a little scuff on it.
I'm just thinking about the waste out there in the world. I'm thinking about the tires that Formula One drivers use that end up burning in landfills after one lap. I'm thinking about the food that Las Vegas just ships off in garbage containers every day. And I'm thinking about Joel Karnick. No, those baseballs, man, that's just over the line. The waste that bothers
me. I'm just tipping my toe in the water, see? I really wanted to
you gotta
I really wanted to take a jab at all the dollar stores who throw all their stuff into dumpsters rather than food pantries.
There you go.
But instead, I delved into the baseball
You've
side
got to
of
warm
it, so.
Up the crowd to the sentiment here in baseball's. I see. Okay, well, now we've drawn the curtain all the way back, and I ruined your ploy. You'll have to re-gear and try again.
So, just one baseball. We're good. They're just too many flying around. So
I think, though. It sounds like maybe a little extra randomness because you've got a beat-up ball, so maybe you'll get some wonky plays because the ball's not in perfect condition, but like it's a controlled amount of randomness, an appealing amount of randomness.
And it could be edited just a little bit, but I think they need to control that. Banana Ball, by the way, was on national TV, whatever that is now. I think it was on network TV on Saturday night when they played, I believe, at Fenway Park. Banana Ball continues to just be absolutely insanely popular. The league is expanding. And it's just, I watched a little bit of it last night, and it's pretty cool. Banana baseball, it's a whole new way of baseball. That's a whole other show in itself. So one more thing before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Talk a little bit about haircuts today.
I need one.
Because I don't know how people handle this, and I don't want to offend people who are in the haircutting business, but I will say that I met my wife in 1996. 1996 we met.
I was alive.
And I have not, since then, had, no one has cut my hair since I met her than her. I have never had, I haven't been to a salon. She cuts my hair. So is it a norm? Is it a norm for people to cut hair at home? When I didn't go to a salon till I was 19. My mom cut all of our boys' hair. Is that weird? Is that a natural thing? It's money saving, I guess, if you want to look at it that way too, right?
You know, I think there's probably a lot more people getting their own hair cut at home by their mom, by their partner than we realize. Partially because there's no reason to go out there and talk about the fact that my mom cuts my hair, especially like in your case. Yeah. Shayna gives you really good haircuts. Like, not to knock it, but you know, you can often see some signs that there was a haircut done at home. Maybe there's some slight cornrow there that you'll have to settle in a little bit, but like
the bowl is still on the head.
Yeah, like there's you'll see the signs. The glazed look hasn't left the expression of the 6-year-old. But like, most people, I think, are better at it than you'd expect, and so you just don't see the signs of it, and it doesn't come up in conversation. But on another hand, on the other hand, I think every version of getting your hair cut is pretty valid. You know, unless you're going out there and spending $250 on your 8-year-old because you think that's just what they have to have. Okay, well, then I can probably, I might have something to weigh in on that with. But like, frankly, we got buzz cuts, the easiest haircut you could have done.
We did too, a lot. Yeah,
well, and yeah. But we got them done, and both of my parents 100% capable of doing a buzz cut and more than willing to do that. So I find myself asking myself, why didn't my dad spend that money? Well, because the person who was cutting our hair was a friend, and it was a nice little conversation that they got to have, and it was a little check-in that they didn't necessarily see each other often. A family friend who, yeah, okay, so between the two of us every couple months, cool, we go see Julie, and we love Julie. She was one of our babysitters who we remember. We've got super fond memories, and like, I doubt that my dad could correct me later today and say, no, we wanted you to have that social experience. Maybe it wasn't a conscious thought, but that was a pleasant little thing to do for all of us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, absolutely buy the $20 wall clipper and save yourself 10 bucks for the rest of your life.
I remember to this day sitting in the basement, the cellar type basement of our house, on a little red spinning stool chair.
Yeah.
And that's what my mom cut her hair. And I remember very clearly that she cut it by scissors to start with, but then my dad got her an electric shaver that I think he picked up at an auction somewhere, because about every 5 minutes it would just be zzz, and all of a sudden the thing would go brrr. Then my mom would have to whack it against her hand and it would straighten up. So as a youngster, still to this day, I'll be honest with you, when I get my hair cut, even by my wife, I'm pretty relaxed, but not 100% relaxed, because I'm waiting for one of two things to happen. For that buzzer to go and for my mom maybe to be distracted by my three older brothers and maybe nip my ear just a little bit. There was blood a couple of times that I had a haircut. So I'm not 100, about 99% relaxed, but not 100 when I have a haircut because of that.
If people think that you can't accidentally draw blood cutting hair, you've never cut your own hair.
Yeah.
Like, you've never trimmed around your own ears. I can all but guarantee it. And hey, maybe I'm just really bad at it and only the bad ones cut our own ears. But I mean, like, it came with a taper. It came with a little tutorial. I felt confident. Still bled.
Yeah.
Still bled. I was ready. Nope. I was also bleeding.
And it's not something people talk about when you introduce it. You know, you meet somebody, you're like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, you know, you got a couple of kids. You know, we live down on 2nd Street and we cut our own hair.
Yep.
Nope. It does not something that comes up in conversation.
Doesn't make the dating profile video.
It really doesn't. More of the Gray Area at 8:31. Hang on, we got a lot more on the menu. Stay with us here.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Fast-moving floodwaters in Texas over the weekend are responsible for at least 80 deaths, according to emergency officials there, and many are still missing. ABC's Mac Upman is in Kerrville, Texas.
Rescuers growing desperate to find the missing and recover those swept away by the historic flash floods that left over 40 missing. In the pre-dawn hours of July 4th, waters rising 26 feet in less than an hour. Many still asleep. The ground dried by drought acted like concrete, sending the water rushing straight into river basins.
More rain is in the forecast for later today. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be in Washington this evening, set for a meeting with President Trump at the White House. The two leaders are expected to discuss a potential ceasefire proposal amid Israel's ongoing war in Gaza. This will also mark the first time Trump and Netanyahu have met since the U.S. struck three of Iran's nuclear facilities. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's another Wisconsin needs to know. If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services would like to remind you that there is help available and there is hope. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline provides 24/7 connection to confidential support. To access it, you can call or text 988, or you can chat online at 988lifeline.org. You can learn more about the Lifeline and find materials in Spanish and Hmong, as well as English, at 988wisconsin.org. Once again, the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available and provides 24/7 connection to confidential support. Remember, there is hope. Saturday, July 12th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Autism Society of Central Wisconsin invites you out to Elk Lake Park for a day of fun, community, and celebration. This is a special family picnic as they celebrate 25 incredible years of supporting families touched by autism. This is a free and fun-filled day at Elk Lake Park and is a fantastic opportunity for families to connect, relax, and enjoy a wonderful day together. There's going to be something for everyone, including a splash pad to cool off and have a blast, yard games for all ages, and delicious food from the Cravings Food Truck. To help with planning and ensure that everyone can be accommodated and to make the necessary arrangements, please RSVP through the Facebook page of the Autism Society of Central Wisconsin, which is just Autism Society of Central Wisconsin. And once again, this is free and taking place Saturday, July 12th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. over at Elk Lake Park. Prescription labels include more than just your name and dosage. Brittany Merlot tells us they also list key details that affect when and how you get your next supply of medication.
One of the most common sources of confusion is the difference between a refill and a renewal. A refill means your provider has already given the pharmacy permission to give you more. But once those run out, a renewal is needed, which means your doctor needs to prescribe a new prescription before the pharmacy can fill it again.
Sometimes patients might forget to look and see how many refills they have left, and they'll expect there to be one. And
that's Olivia Bishop, an Aspirus Pharmacy resident. It's also important to check the expiration date printed on the labels.
It is the date where we can confirm that the medication is still effectively working. Unfortunately, after that expiration date, maybe the medication might lose its effectiveness.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field, where the Brewers open up a series against the LA Dodgers. Milwaukee with a 3-1 win over the Marlins yesterday. Brandon Woodruff held Miami to just 2 hits, 1 run, striking out 8 on 70 pitches in 6 innings. Jackson Churio at the plate, top of the third on FanDuel Wisconsin.
And a drive into left field. That'll get a run in. Plenty. It is up and it is going to be gone. Jackson Churio goes deep. His 15th slider that backed up over the inside part of the plate, and Churio crushed it.
Freddy Peralta gets the start tonight after finding out next week he'll be at the All-Star game.
All the work that we put every day, and when you have the right people around, and everything can be great.
Rhys Hoskins headed to the IL with a sprained right thumb. Andrew Vaughn being called up from Nashville to play first base. NBA, the Bucks have re-signed guard Ryan Rollins to a 3-year deal worth $12 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your roof takes a beating from all kinds of weather. Regardless, Hixwood's got your back. Our Super Rib 100 American-made steel outlasts corrosion 60% better than others, topped with an HDPE paint system that won't quit or fade. For any building in your peace of mind, call Hixwood. Quality you can count on. Visit us online at Hixwood.com or call 715-644-0765.
reliable, affordable energy is critical to progress and building resilient, connected, and prosperous communities. Enbridge's Line 5 is a vital link delivering raw materials that are processed into propane, fueling communities, industry, and businesses across Wisconsin. Energy that powers agricultural equipment and heats homes. To learn more, visit Enbridge.com/L5WIS. Tomorrow is on.
There's no better time than right now to take care of yourself. Marshfield Clinic Primary Care helps you stay on track with screenings and vaccinations, or to simply connect on your overall well-being. Visit marshfieldclinic.org/primarycare.
Save big on auto accessories at Menards. We have what you need to keep your vehicle looking like new. Give your car the care it needs with spray wax from Turtle Wax. Just wash your car, rinse, spray on Turtle Wax, and dry for the quickest way to a high gloss shine. Save big on all Turtle Wax products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today right around 80. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Our low 59. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with, again, a few more scattered showers and thunderstorms at a high near 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
More of the gray area Monday morning. Couple of birthdays here we'll get to. Jennifer. Jennifer Krieger is celebrating a birthday today. Happy. It is today. Okay. Jennifer, happy birthday to you. And also to Elizabeth Simmerdak, who is celebrating today also, from a friend. Both of you in for the cake drawing, which we will hold today because we didn't do that on Friday. Joel here. Gray is over there. Both of us are struggling on this Monday morning. That means we had a good 4th of July weekend, right? If we're struggling,
so.
I think it is.
I got dunked a lot.
Yeah, how did the dunk take go on Saturday, by the way?
I managed to do it wrong. Like,
how do you do a dunk take? Who were you yelling at? Who were you enticing to dunk you?
I was yelling at everybody, and I got what I was asking for on that front, but that's not how I did it wrong. Like, there's one variable that you can control when it comes to being the dunky. And not a donkey, though I am a, never mind. If you're getting dunked on a dunk tank, it is absolutely possible that the seat swings up and slaps you in the back. How is that possible?
Now, in the back or the back side?
The back.
The back, okay.
I'm touching it here, and it actually still kind of stings a little bit.
So as you're going down into the water, it kind of flips you like, get out of here.
If the seat tips too quickly, it'll actually tip all the way forward before you've even barely started to fall. And, like, it'll slap you. And it's like it's a hard plastic 1-inch thick, so it gives you a pretty good wallop. And I realized I was sitting too far forward. Okay. I thought, I want to make sure that this thing drops me good and quick and that you get a good visual effect. Turns out it didn't make it look any different that I sat farther forward. It just made the board tilt faster.
So
and
it wants whap, you whap, back whap. Against the seat, so it kind of just takes your whole body instead of, like, flipping you.
Yep, okay. It kind of tilts you in that way instead of dropping you in. And believe me, you want to be tilted in because my spine got slapped with hard acrylic. But, like, it wasn't that bad. It was worth it.
Good time, huh?
Oh, it was fantastic. Rowan? Coming for you, man. That kid's got an arm.
Sounds like you and Rowan got something to settle.
He was in
here.
The dunk tank after I was, but he was out of it by the time I got over there. So I told him he was dunking me left and right, and I was like, dude, it's your turn next, and, like, I'm gonna be able to buy a round. I couldn't. He was too quick. So dude got out scot free. Was just dunking people and no consequences.
Good job. Sounds like it was a good time there on Saturday. The weather held out pretty good, I think, through most of the day on Saturday. It was a little bit cloudy, but rained a little bit later in the day, I think.
Definitely rainier than we would have dolled up, but proud of the community for showing up strong in the midst of that.
Yeah. Don't talk a little bit about the changing the changing landscape of professional sports, because I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but professional baseball is leaving ESPN after next year for the first time, or after this year, I think it is, for the first time. No longer going to be broadcast on ESPN. No ESPN game of the week. And if you ever are on the ESPN website, which a lot of people go to, you'll notice when you go on there a lot of times that the main thing that's featured on there is a soccer score. Mexico USA was the one. I went to ESPN this morning. It was a Mexico one, a Mexico two, USA one. And ESPN is, it's very obvious that they are pushing people towards soccer, because that's, soccer's on ESPN. It will be kind of their, one of their featured sport along with football too. And they know that the audience for for baseball is diminishing, has diminished, and you're seeing a lean in to soccer by ESPN, which could really have a lot to say about the sports landscape in the U.S. here in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's. I look at this and I ask myself what the motivations behind the decision are. Who is this good for? And it's the same answer every time. It's good for the people who will profit from it.
Yeah.
Whoever is. Making the deals with ESPN or you know, with the MLS, Major League Soccer, those are the people who are really having a grand old time. Whether it's good for the viewing public will be seen through time. Chances are it'll be good for the people profiting.
Well, the bottom line is it's getting harder to watch. It's getting harder to find baseball. 4th of July Friday, I subscribed to YouTube TV, pay like $90 a month. YouTube TV has almost everything, and I couldn't find one baseball game on 4th of July, not one, because it's all behind paywalls now everywhere. And there was one game on Saturday night. Fox Sports still has the baseball game of the week. But what does that do to a sport when you pay $90 a month for a TV service and you turn on your TV and it's not there? Eventually, that's gonna be not good. Yeah. Not good for the sport, right? Yeah. Could you imagine the Packers playing now next year and you couldn't watch it? You couldn't watch it unless you paid $30 a month, you know, to beyond your normal subscriptions and stuff. It would affect it not having it there for free, but more accessible.
Right. Well, I mean, for the time being, there are still, back in the day, Joel, where if you live in the right MLB city, you could pull up a car up on the ridge outside the stadium and kind of look out from over, and you can't really actually watch the action that close. It might be some lower quality, but you can hear the crowd. You can see what color a jersey's on the mound, and so you can get an idea. If you had the right angle, the right perspective, you could still take in the game for free, kind of, at a reduced quality. There are modern equivalents to that. And so I will always do everything I can to make sure I can watch the Packers. Full stop.
You'll find a way.
But I am more and more disenchanted by what I see. It's the boiled frog, you know? Like, am I complaining about the good old days? Oh, totally. Because the good old days included a $30 NFL channel subscription that got you every single game.
Right.
What's changed? More people wanted a cut of the pie. So they need to make the cut bigger, and I'm the one making the pie, Joel, so it's a bigger pie.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it is.
And as a Viking fan, there's 2 or 3 weeks out of the year where I can't watch my team play up here because there's a conflict between the Packers and Vikings. And you know what I do on those days? I'm not going to pay for the NFL ticket for those games. I listen to it on the radio. I go online and I listen to it online for free.
No.
And it's a slight adjustment, but one that when I was younger probably wouldn't have liked it very much.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit of an adjustment to listen to it rather than watch it, because money. It's just money. I don't want to pay a couple $100 to get the ticket.
No, it's and even if I can afford it, I honestly don't even ask myself if I can afford it. It's just like, no. You've moved the goalposts again, and you've officially moved them past the 6th line in the sand that I drew, and finally I'm calling it. Like, add me to the other statistic, the people who finally said enough's enough. And add me to the statistic of, like, Am I on lists that I don't want my name on? Yeah, but I'd rather be on that list than the list of people paying $50 a month to 6 different subscription services. Like, hey, yeah. My generation, you're doing really good not smoking cigarettes, but nice vape. Hey, my generation, you're doing really good not buying satellite TV packages, but nice streaming bundle. Yeah. 1 step forward, 2 steps back, and it costs $2 more. It's like, hey, cool, this progress is an opportunity to take their money in some other form. Let's put it in a cardboard box instead of a plastic shell and call it sustainable.
In the long run, will it help out like a local tavern or something? Will more and more people go down to the local bar to watch it, since if they can't get it at home?
Good question. Maybe. You know, like, why don't you want to invest in small towns? Make it a law that those sports packages must be free to sports bars in towns of certain sizes. Like, put some actual thought and nuance and ideas and creativity and inspiration into how you're leading people and making it possible to live here. We've got to answer those kinds of questions. We're in a town that's getting smaller as tourism grows and industry leaves. Yeah. I'm sure that the mayor and the governor and everybody else are worried about this, but okay, what are we going to do about it? There's a weird little answer to you. Make sports packages free for bars in towns less than 5,000 people.
Yeah, and they're not free now. And in fact, most times bars have to pay more for the TV services. If they have 50, 75 seats in their establishment, they have to pay a lot more than a household would for that same show.
And I get it. I totally get it. Yep, you've got commercial viability. You're increasing your audience. You're basically redistributing a product at a profit, and therefore must be getting, you got to make sure the company's getting its due. But at the same time, like, all right, I know we don't have a right to watch football, but at what point does profit have more rights than you know, I do have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but I'm pretty sure that companies can pursue their happiness a lot more effectively than I can right now.
Yeah, NFL continues to try to increase their revenue stream, and it's only going to get worse. There's really not a change this year. This year is pretty much the same as it was last year. You might have a game on Amazon Prime. You might have a game on Peacock, or I'm not sure what it was.
Oh yeah,
but
video.
There's still the NFL is not ready to cut that gold thread of watching the game on network TV, ABC, Fox, CBS. They're not ready to cut that thread, but it's. There's a little wear in that thread. They're getting closer, I think.
I mean, the moment that one of their streaming partners, and they've got about a half a dozen of them, like you've pointed out, between Prime Video and Netflix and everybody else, once any one of their half dozen streaming partners demonstrates to them, to the NFL, that they're capable of exclusivity, you know, if I'm Netflix, I want the NFL to only go with me. And once one of my 6 chosen flock have demonstrated that they can be that one, I'm going to go to the other 5 and say, all right, now you guys are paying half to bring NFL games.
Yeah.
Like you are now, we're cutting your profit in half. And if you want to keep it, it's half or nothing. Like, it's the Walmart method. I'm going to make sure I, Walmart, am responsible for 90% of your output. I buy 90% of it, resell it in my stores. And then a couple years that go by and I say, cool, now you're going to drop the price. And that's the end of the conversation. It's the same thing. Like, I wait until I can go with you as my only reserve shoot, and then I use that as leverage against the other 5. I jack up the price anyway because now there's only one option for fans to go through. And what do I do at the end of it all? Sleep like a baby, Joel, on a pile of money.
Yeah, we've got Thursday. I'm really surprised the NFL has not expanded the days of their games more consistently yet. We're still Thursday, Sunday, Monday. They've left Tuesday and Friday alone for now. During the regular season, anyway. Holidays, they'll flip them over that. But I'm really surprised the NFL hasn't grabbed another night.
I don't see Tuesday and Wednesday coming.
Friday. I don't think Wednesday, Thursday, or Wednesday works just because of what you come off of a game and back on. But I see Friday working. I see a Friday night game.
Friday games do happen, but I don't see it regularly happening outside of the postseason for one simple reason, which is that will arm the wrong portion of the NFLPA. Like, without getting political, unions are generally not popular in the states right now, just less so than about 100 years ago. About 100 years ago, labor unions were incredibly popular, and union-led efforts were incredibly popular. Right now, they're not, and those rules, like how many days a week can a game be on, they're governed between the interactions between the NFL and the NFL Players Association, who actually is in trouble right now for colluding with the NFL to get players less money on their contracts. But even still, even in the face of that, the NFLPA has shown a willingness to be an old school union when it comes to getting the guys their worth, their money, and protecting their bodies and their health and things like that. So I kind of feel like if that question was raised, we'd see the pit bull version of the NFLPA that we rarely see. Only when those biggest questions arise, you'll see like a Teamsters edition of the NFLPA. Like,
well, they're going to 18 games. That's pretty much a given that 18 games is going to happen.
Oh yeah, totally.
That's pretty much not even a question that that's going to happen here eventually. And I certainly hope they expand the rosters a little bit too, because you're getting to a point now where you cannot expect a player to play the entire season anymore.
Yes.
You just it's not realistic anymore. 18 games.
Getting there, absolutely. But we come up against a different problem the moment we decide to alleviate it by increasing roster size. Depending on position, we don't have the human beings you need to do that. Like linemen or kickers, there are not 32 NFL quality kickers right now. There aren't. Yeah. You know how you know? Because half of the team's got a bad kicker. Yeah. That means there's about 20 decent kickers that billion-dollar organizations, multiple, are even aware of. You think you got a guy in your backyard? You don't. Mm-hmm. Like, they know. Offensive line, probably next on the list. And there are other positions, too, but less apparent than those two. There are a lot of teams with bad O-lines and bad. So, like, to say you, okay, yeah, increase the roster cap, make it about 100 guys, you know, basically double it. Cool. Now half of your linemen are bad. Like, that's the only way to get 10 linemen that are starter caliber. We have to redefine it. The average starting talent now goes down. And, okay, maybe we adjust the rules a little bit to be more friendly to offensive line, but then your good O-linemen look like superstars and the pass rush has nothing. Like, we end up moving the bottleneck, basically.
Yeah. Well, the NFL is number one in America. There's no doubt about it. Not even close to number one sport. As far as viewers go, financially, the NBA is pretty comparable, but NBA is an international thing.
Yep.
They get a lot of money from outside, and just watch the NBA draft. If you watch the NBA draft, I don't know what the percentage was, but it was close to 30, probably 30, 40% were international players.
Yep.
We're not even American-born players. So it's two different ways to get to the same gold, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, NBA, NFL. NFL is what everybody talks about. NBA is kind of spread out more around the world.
Well, that's something I think that's something we're immediately seeing. Yes, there's an appeal to moving games overseas so we get overseas viewers, but no, there. I think a lot of the reason we're seeing games in Brazil right now is because, like, let's actually backtrack for a second and examine that. Let's look at other sports. So baseball, huge amount of people who were not born in the States in here playing baseball
Central
right now.
Central America. Yeah,
and the,
right.
And the word that gets used a lot is plurality, if you're from multiple areas. The NHL has a plurality with Canada of about 42%. That means 42% of players in the NHL are Canadian. Maybe both. Maybe they're dual citizens, but almost half.
And a Russian tint in there, too. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Basketball, less so, but still there, and quite heavily there with your Eastern Europeans, especially, it seems like. But there's some South Americans that pop up every once in a while, rarely, and an African or two here and there. NHL, you got, what, a couple dozen particular, usually it seems like Africa produces, Canada a little bit. Nobody from Europe. There's nobody. The Russian football players? No,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, no.
They're not there.
Not
they're
there.
So, do those players not exist? Yeah, they totally do. They're just not being exposed to, you know, I think football is harder to play. You know, you need a bigger group. You got six guys. You can play a great game of basketball with six guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can't play great baseball, but you can get the job done, you know, if you got the fastest guy in the world in the outfield. But like football, you're toast. You can play catch.
Yeah. You need the pads too. You need the equipment.
That's why flags come in. I think that is why the NFL has so much to do with the flag football of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I think it's both for international appeal and for that one, my tinfoil hat theory, when they ban tackle football, even for the NFL. They'll be ready with the flags.
And that's why you're seeing the NFL just continues to dip its its toes in that international water. The Vikings have back-to-back international games this year. 2 weeks in a row,
yes,
they are gone. They continue to dip their toes because they know that if there's something there, they want to make sure they're grabbing it. They're not 100% sure that it's going to even grab internationally. But if there's, you know, about a 1% chance, they see all the money that's out there and the potential. And that's why they continue to go to wherever, London, and I don't know where else they are this year. They just continue to just kind of test the market. They throw $100 million here and say, hey, let's go to this stadium and see what happens. They got enough money to do it. And if they hit something that works, ba-ching, there it is.
And if I'm no more than guessing on all of this, but let's assume that I'm 100% right about why flag football and why these international games. Even if you and I are dead on about what we're thinking here, we're talking about a tree that won't bear fruit for 20, 30 years. You know, we're talking about inspiring a crop of kids internationally that are only seeing their first few football games live, maybe ever, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, they're talking about building a global dynasty,
right,
that they've, you know, we've got the proof of concept here in the U.S., but so does Disneyland, and look at all the places they've flopped. So, like, they've got a lot of trying and experimentation to do. I really am going to be looking closely at flag football. I think how flag football gets reacted to. I think, like, if you want to go to a bunch of soccer players and get them to play football, first of all, you're probably toast, but you're going to have better odds, I think, if you show them flag football than if you show them tackle football, because the skill set actually translates better. I can dribble a soccer ball around you too. Okay, I can translate that into avoiding a football being dodged a lot easier than I can avoid all 300 pounds of you and I didn't think how to juke fast enough. Like, I'm a lot less scared of getting that flag grabbed than I am. I'm just a little guy. Yeah. I can play flag football, though.
But you talk about that 20, 30 year out kind of thing, and it plays back to when you look at guys like like Vlade Divac from the Lakers, one of the not the first, but one of the first big international players, and the Yao Mings that came in, mm-hmm, superstars from other country. It takes just one from a country, and all of a sudden that country rallies around them. Look when Ichiro came over here. Ichiro Suzuki, the baseball player, had two busloads of foreign reporters following him everywhere. And the NFL wants that. The NFL wants that first Chinese-born quarterback or Russian superstar running back. And now all of a sudden that country is like, ooh, we want to follow him. The TV goes up and boom. And that's what happened in the NBA. You go back to the 70s in the NBA, there wasn't hardly any foreign players. 80s, they started to kind of bleed in a little bit. And then 90s and 2000s, you had them everywhere. They were all over the place. And like you said, 20, 30-year plan, this is what the NFL is trying to do. They're looking for that one or two superstars from a foreign country to boom, just snap the finger and here we go.
Yeah, they want that little kid in Dublin to say JJ McCarthy is why.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why the Vikings have back-to-backs.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean I absolutely do not consider a coincidence that McCarthy is playing in Dublin this year. I think they did that.
I'm from Dublin. All right.
But are you Irish, Joel?
No, I have nothing in me Irish. Gray, thank you so much. We'll archive this whole thing, whether you liked it or not. Gray Area Monday mornings, we just kind of talk, I don't know, sometimes serious, sometimes just fun. We had a little more serious sports talk than normal, but good stuff.
We sure talk, though.
Thank you, Gray. He's stretching. He's yawning. So am I.
Pandiculating.
All right. The news is next. See you later, everybody.
This is Riley. My dad is like...